So we begin with review this morning as we look through the 11th chapter of Hebrews. People living by faith have a single ambition, and that single ambition is the pursuit of God. People living by faith take action on the information that they have received, information that has been revealed to them by God. We don't have to go looking for it. It is revealed. It has been revealed. And the information that we have, we take action. People living by faith take action on that information. The assumption there is that we know what the information is. God has revealed himself. Listen, I'm going to say something this morning, and it might require you to correct a little bit of your verbiage when talking about God. When God speaks, God isn't trying to say anything to you. God has spoken. Do you see the difference? God has spoken. Do you know what he has said, and are you heeding what he has said? People living by faith take action on the truth that God has revealed. Also, people living by faith move toward the goal. They live with the end in view. They have their eyes fixed on the objective, and therefore the things of earth, whether they be adversity or prosperity, they become marginalized, and they do not impede one's progress toward the objective of being face to face with God. People living by faith move toward the goal. Our focus today then is people living by faith make bold choices. We will see that in the text. People living by faith make bold choices. This is one of the benefits of the Old Testament, one of the values of the Old Testament. Many people say, well, you know, we really don't need to read the Old Testament because it really isn't relevant. It doesn't apply to us because Christ has come. You know, we're no longer under the law, and the Old Testament is just about the law. Nonsense. One of the chief values. Let me tell you the two chief values of the Old Testament. One, it teaches us about the character of God. And two, it teaches us about the character of man. God will always be God, and man will always be man. Right? So we are not God. And the Bible teaches us about that. But here's one of the chief values of the Old Testament. It is the greatness of our object of trust. The greatness of our object of trust and the benefit of trusting Him. And we see that in the pages of Scripture. And it's encapsulated here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, but it's all the Old Testament, the greatness of our object of trust. Our object of trust is a person. He is the infinite sovereign person, the one who made us and made us for himself. So we see clearly then the value of the Old Testament, and the writer of Hebrews is drawing significantly from the Old Testament. And all of the ones that he's mentioning here are from the Old Testament. The greatness of our object of trust and the benefit of trusting him. Now, before we get started into the lesson today of the text, what the text is going to be teaching us, well, we can begin with verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Living by faith will make you do unusual things. The title of this message today is People Living by Faith Make Bold Choices. And here's a guarantee that I have for you on the authority of the Scriptures. Living by faith will make you do unusual things. Remember, whose opinion is it that counts? You have one single ambition. That ambition is the pursuit of God. And you live with the end in view. Therefore, you take action upon that. That means living by faith will make you do unusual things. Unusual in whose perspective? Not God's. But unusual in the context of the people, the world that you live in, a system that chooses not to acknowledge God. I guarantee you this, living by faith will make you do unusual things. What did the people of Israel do? They were going to take Jericho. Well, instead of storming it like a normal ancient army would and putting it under siege for months at a time, God said just march around the city one day for 7 days. March around the city one time a day for 6 days. And on the last day, they're going to march around it several times. And then all they have to do is just what? Shout. Now, that's pretty unusual stuff, isn't it? That's not normally how an army does battle. But living by faith will make you do unusual things. Now, know this and understand this. Remember, your single ambition in life is the pursuit of God. If you are living by faith, that means there's only one opinion that really counts. So you're not looking to people to give you their favorable opinion. And if living by faith will make you do unusual things, chances are, particularly in today, those unusual things are going to bring on ridicule of other people. But remember, whose opinion is it that counts? Who is it you will stand before in the end? Do you think maybe Noah got a little bit of ridicule in his day? Living by faith made him do some pretty unusual things. Particularly one, like building a huge boat where there was no water. Okay, that's pretty unusual. But God had spoken. And Noah moved with godly fear. So we see that then. Not only that, but look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. The reputation of Israel was known. The reputation of the God of Israel was known. And Rahab understood it. And she feared God, and therefore she stuck her neck out. And living by faith will not only make you do unusual things, it will make you stick your neck out. Which means you might become vulnerable. You might become vulnerable to the wrath of man. If you are living by faith, and you are obeying God, you are following, you are pursuing God, you are taking action on the information that God has given you, you are going to do unusual things. And it will require you to stick your neck out, making you vulnerable to the wrath of man. Because the opinions of man do not equal the opinion of God. And Rahab stuck her neck out. She made herself vulnerable. And yet God blessed her because she feared God and she was rescued. You want to know something very interesting? Guess where else we find Rahab? In the genealogy of the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? How dare we put God in a box of who He can use and who He cannot? Let's be very careful about that. Remember, living by faith will make you do unusual things and it'll make you stick your neck out. Now let's look at the text here, beginning at verse 32 again. What more shall I say? You know, the writer of Hebrews is on a roll here. He's talking of all these people and he says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets. Who are these people? They are instruments in omnipotent hands. If you are living by faith, you are an instrument in omnipotent hands. And that's what these people were. And they understood that. It's not that these were superhumans. These were not bigger than life people. Maybe with the exception of David, they were normal, average, everyday people. David was a king. It's not hardly normal, average, everyday, is it? But still, he was a humble man. He was a man after God's own heart. And we see then, verse 32, Gideon, one of the judges, Barak also with Deborah, and Samson, one of the judges, Jephthah. Who are these people? These were men who exercised faith in God and they acted upon that faith at a time when faith was at a premium. Because at the end of the book of Judges, it says every man did what was right in his own eyes. People were doing their own thing. It's kind of like what could be said about our context today, don't you think? And yet these people did unusual things. And it says also David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. This is what the judges did. Through faith subdued kingdoms. Gideon, for example. And God called him. He says, I'm going to call you to deliver the people of Israel. And Gideon says, why me? Who am I? And he needed proof that the Lord was calling him for sure. Worked righteousness. Samuel certainly did that. David did that. Obtained promises. David obtained one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture, that one of his sons would reign on his throne forever. And stopped the mouths of lions. Name two people who did that in the Old Testament. This is a quiz, your Old Testament. Two people who stopped the mouths of lions. Samson was one, and Daniel, right? Now, we know Daniel didn't do it, right? But was there maybe some faith involved there? Absolutely, because Daniel's single ambition was a pursuit of God. And the king's edict, the law of the land, didn't even get in the way of his pursuit of God. You see, people living by faith make bold choices. The law came down. Daniel opened his window and he prayed to God. People living by faith make bold choices. It doesn't mean they're weird. It doesn't mean they're arrogant. It doesn't mean they're rude. But they make bold choices because their single ambition is the pursuit of God, and they take action on that. And they live with the end in view. And we continue in there. Verse 34, they quenched the violence of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember that? They escaped the edge of the sword. Many of them did that. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Isn't that a wonderful truth? 2 Corinthians says that. God says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, where he was asking God to remove his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. But God says, my strength is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, these were instruments in omnipotent hands. Instruments in omnipotent hands. And so we see Gideon, we see Elijah. Also in here, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Okay, women received their dead. Elijah did that. Women received their dead raised to life again. Wait a minute. So far, it's been good news, hasn't it? So far, it's been pretty triumphant. People living by faith do unusual things, and they're just conquerors. They live victoriously, and they do wonderful things. Before you get to the point reading this and talking about faith and people living by faith making bold choices, before you get to the point where you believe that you are personally invincible and you start thinking like, look how important I am to God, unless you think it's about you, keep reading in verse 35. Others were tortured. What does that have to do with faith? It has everything to do with faith. Look what it says. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What does that mean? They were living with the end in view. They were living with the end in view. They were living with abandon because it's not about them. The very point to their existence is God Himself. So they have a single ambition of pursuing God, and they take action on that. They live with the end in view. Therefore, they make bold choices. And they live with abandon. Something that we need to very, very clearly understand when it comes to living by faith. And this becomes very clear in this text of Hebrews. God's purpose and glory does not equal your comfort and security on this side of eternity. We are Westerners. We are prosperous Westerners. We need to be rescued from that myth that God's purpose and glory equals my comfort and security. That is false. And in case we believe it's true, let's continue reading in Hebrews chapter 11. Why is it not true? Because on this side of eternity, on this earth, during this time, I'm not home. I don't belong here. I am a sojourner. I am a pilgrim. I am on my way home. I don't belong in this place. This is the title that the Scriptures give us, both in Hebrews and Peter does also. A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for, was it? I like what Richard Dahlstrom says in his book, The Colors of Hope. We're all about safety today, aren't we? We have, particularly as Americans, we have this fetish with safety. And Richard Dahlstrom says the safety posture, the safety first posture, is wrong on several levels. First and foremost, the good life is never defined by Jesus in terms of either length or comfort. To the contrary, Jesus says that those who seek to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their lives, in other words, spilling them out generously in service to others because of love for God, will find them. Stop for a moment and remember the definition of faith. People living by faith take action on what? On the information they have received. What is this? This is information that God has revealed. Are we taking action on this? People living by faith have the single ambition of the pursuit of God. And they take action on that. And they live with the end in view, and therefore they make bold choices. You may have heard of the International Justice Mission. That is an organization from somebody from the State Department who is now working there. Gary Haugen is the leader of that. He is a believer. He used to be with the United States government, but he deals with foreign governments on the issue of trying to rescue and protect those who are victims of human trafficking. Slavery is alive and well in our world today. Gary Haugen says this: they rescue many, many children. Listen to what he says here. After we have poured into our children all the good food and shelter and clothing, after we have provided them with great education, discipline, structure, and love, after we have worked so hard to provide every good thing, they turn to us and ask, "Why have you given all this to me?" The honest answer for me is, "So you'll be safe." And my kid looks up at me and says, "Really? That's it? You want me to be safe? Your grand ambition for my life is that nothing bad happens?" And I think something inside them dies, says Gary. They either go away to perish in safety or they go away looking for adventure in the wrong places. Jesus, on the other hand, affirms their sense of adventure and their yearning for larger glory. I like that. We should heed that. Consider the apostles in the New Testament. I know the writer of Hebrews focuses on the Old Testament, but the apostles of the New Testament, what did they do? Look in the early chapters, particularly chapters 4 and 5. What did they do? They taught openly, boldly. They taught in the name of Jesus. They proclaimed the name of the risen Jesus Christ. And they were threatened by the religious leaders and said, "Don't do it again." And just to make sure you get the point, we're going to flog you. So they were whipped. And then they go home with the rest of the crowd. And what do? They write a letter to their lawyer. That's not what they did. They praised God and they thanked Him for being worthy of suffering for His name. People living by faith make bold choices. In 2007... an edition of Newsweek magazine, you all know who Garrison Keillor is. Well, those of us who listen to the radio still, right? Garrison Keillor was asked to choose what he considered to be the 5 most important books. One of the books that he chose was the book of Acts. Garrison Keillor. And some readers were probably surprised to find that he ranked the book of Acts at the top of his list. And when describing the book of Acts, Keillor said this. He offered this concise but potent summation. Listen to this. "The flames lit on their little heads and bravely and dangerously they went onward." That's a good summation of the book of Acts. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles, the sent ones. Look what it says. "Still others had trial of mocking, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two." It is believed that Isaiah died that way. He was sawn in two. And it wasn't a magician's act. "They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, You see, they lived with abandoned because their existence wasn't about them. Verse 38, what does it say? Of whom the world was not worthy. What is that telling us? There are two opinions that you're confronted with every day. And there's only one that counts. You are confronted with the opinions of those who surround you every day, day in and day out. You are a person living by faith. It means you have a single ambition, that is the pursuit of God. You take action on that information. You live with the end in view and you make bold choices, which means you might be doing some unusual things and you might be sticking your neck out. But you're doing this. And you're happy to do this and you delight in doing this because there's only one opinion that counts. Can God say of you and me, of whom the world is not worthy? Meaning, God has a highly favorable opinion of me and it doesn't matter to me what the world thinks. Because I'm living by faith. My pursuit is of God and I take action on that. Soren Kierkegaard wrote, when one preaches Christianity in such a way that the echo answers, away with that man, he does not deserve to live. Know this, that this is the Christianity of the New Testament. Capital punishment is the penalty for preaching Christianity as it truly is. There are many, many brothers and sisters losing their lives for the name of Christ today. Martyrdom is also alive and well in our world today. Calvin Miller wrote this. He says, I think the most vibrant missionaries I've met are medical doctors serving in lonely outposts of the Arab world. These physicians and nurses are aware that in winning a Muslim to Christ, they condemn their converts to ostracism and persecution, even martyrdom. One doctor said to me, how do you think I feel in longing to lead people to Christ, knowing that the moment my patient receives Christ, they face a life and death contempt in this culture? It must seem pointless, I said. Pointless, he said. This is the point of the gospel. The cost and consequence of receiving Christ is the entire point of Luke 9:23. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I said a few minutes earlier that martyrdom is alive and well in the world today. There were estimates made by Dave Barrett and Todd Johnson in World Christian Trends that between the years of AD 35 and 2000, 70 million people lost their lives for their faith in Christ. Of that 70 million, 45 million happened in the 20th century. Current trends, the estimate is that every year there are as many as 130 to 160,000 people who lose their lives every year for their faith in Christ. That comes out to about 200 people a day or 5 people a minute. Do we understand that? Our brothers and sisters, at the rate of 5 every minute, are losing their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. People living by faith make bold choices. Globally, the church is expanding significantly in spite of these trends. And it's expanding in places where some of that persecution is at its worst, in Asia and in Africa. The church is expanding. In the West, where we have so much safety and comfort, the church is in decline. People living by faith make bold choices. I like this little example. It's a story told by Irwin McManus in Seizing Your Divine Moment. He says, one summer he sent his son, Aaron, to a youth camp. And he was happy it was a Christian youth camp, because you go to a regular youth camp and they start telling all kinds of ghost stories. And Aaron was pretty young. And he says, he's not going to come home terrified with all these ghost stories. So he sends him off to camp, and thankfully it was a Christian camp. So instead of telling ghost stories at a Christian camp, what do they tell? Stories of demons. So naturally, Aaron came home terrified. Had a hard time sleeping at night. "Dad, don't turn off the light," he said before going to bed. "No, Daddy, could you stay here with me? Daddy, I'm afraid. They told all those stories about demons. And I wanted to say they're not real," but couldn't say that, could he? He goes, Daddy, would you pray with me that I would be safe?" "I could feel it," says McManus. "I could feel warm blanket Christianity beginning to wrap around him, a life of safety, safety, safety. And I said, 'Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous. So dangerous that demons will flee when you enter the room.'" And he goes, "All right, but pray I would be really, really dangerous, Daddy." Have you come to the place in your own life where you stop asking God to give you a safe life and to make you a dangerous follower of Jesus Christ? Once again, if you think dangerous means being arrogant and rude, then you need to call the office and set up an appointment with me for some personal discipleship. Okay? Because that's not what dangerous means. Dangerous means living with one single ambition and taking action on that, and living with the end in view and making bold choices, because there's only one opinion that counts. There's only one opinion that counts. There is a video that I'm going to show you right now. It's called The Definition of a Traitor. And in it there is a line, and there's blanks that you can fill in on your notes. See if you can listen for those. But listen to this video. It's very, very poignant in regard to the message today. Did you get to fill in the blanks? Where you live doesn't make you a missionary. The mission you're on makes you a missionary. Very simple. People living by faith. The single ambition of pursuing God, of taking action, of living with the end in view, and making bold choices. That's a mission. That makes us missionaries. Let's make those bold choices. People living by faith. As the review there, it's those four points, and I hope every time when you think about what it means to live by faith, I'm asking you to remember these four points that we gleaned from Hebrews chapter 11. Because living by faith, that's good religious church talk, right? Let's remember that faith isn't wishful thinking. Faith has an object. And if I am going to be one who is living by faith, it means that I have the single ambition of pursuing God. It means that I will take action on the information that I have from God. It means that I will live with the end in view, and it means that I will make bold choices. Are you living by faith this morning? I pray that we be a people that live by faith.